Let's read now a portion of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I encourage you sometime today to read all the 58 verses of the chapter. This is the glorious chapter in the Bible on the resurrection, not only of Christ, but of the people of God. We're going to read the first 11 verses where the Apostle Paul gives sort of a brief history regarding the resurrection of Christ and his appearances after his resurrection. And we're going to turn after that to Mark 16. And I just call to your attention that in Mark 16, Matthew 28, Luke 14, John 22, where you have all of the accounts of the day Jesus rose again, there the believers, the women, the disciples, all lack understanding concerning the resurrection of Christ and are, to use a phrase Jesus used in Luke 24, slow of heart to believe. But what we have here in 1 Corinthians 15 is the Apostle Paul stating confidently the church's understanding and belief that Jesus rose from the dead. So let's read 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. And so the Apostle Paul speaks of the proclaiming of the resurrection of Jesus in the preaching of the gospel. We turn now to Mark 16, and we're going to read and consider the first 8 verses here of Mark 16. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And they looked, and when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly, and fled from the sepulchre. For they trembled, and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. as far as we read the Word of God, may God bless the reading of His Word. I don't often begin a sermon this way, but I'm going to this morning ask you to think of visiting the home of a married couple that has not yet had any children. And when you go to their home, you find that there is a room that they have made into a nursery. You can tell by the new paint job. This is not a normal bedroom. This is the bedroom of an infant, of a baby. There may be a crib in that room now where there used to be no crib, and maybe a changing table, maybe even a new rocking chair somewhere in the corner of the room. And yes, this is something like what I remember happening some 22 years ago in my own family life. Now, when you see this, you say, the only thing that makes sense of everything that I'm seeing is this married couple is planning to have a baby. And if you had asked them about this room that's been decorated and remodeled to be a nursery, and they would say to you, no, we're not opening a daycare. We're not planning to take care of any children. We're not planning to have any children. You would say, this doesn't make any sense. The only thing that would make sense of that room being turned into a nursery is that there's something joyful, some truly good news. Yes, we, in 6 months or 5 months, we are going to have a baby. Well, I tell this story because this is true of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the only thing, the truth that Jesus is risen from the dead is the only thing that makes sense of everything. So you look at Mark 16 specifically. These women are stunned and bewildered by what they see. What makes sense of discovering that the stone was rolled away from the tomb? What makes sense of the fact that the body of Jesus Christ is not in that tomb? And what makes sense of this appearance of that young man, that's the angel shining with the glory of God from heaven? Well, none of this makes sense to the women until they understand the joyful truth. Jesus is not dead. He is risen. And if you think more broadly about the church, the existence of the church, our congregation, Faith Protestant Reformed Church, why do we exist? Why are we here today for the worship of God? And then you think about your life as a member of the church, and you think about the lives of all the men and women, all the young people, all the boys and girls in the church. Why do you have faith? Why do you have spiritual life? Why do you live and worship the way that you live? And the answer is this: none of that makes sense if Jesus is dead. But it all makes sense, doesn't it? If Jesus is risen from the dead. And so let's consider that this morning, using the language of the angel, referring to Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth, and taking as our theme, Jesus of Nazareth is risen. We're going to notice, first of all, that this was witnessed by the women. They didn't understand that right away, but that's what they were witnessing. Secondly, we will consider the explanation by the angel. And then thirdly, the broadcasting of this truth. First of all, by the women. Jesus of Nazareth is risen. We look first of all, especially at verses 1 and 2. And note that Mark speaks of three women here in verse 1. Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James, that is James the Apostle, James the son of Alphaeus, and Salome. And they had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. These women are mentioned as witnesses of the burial of Jesus Christ. If you go back to chapter 15, verse 47. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joses, beheld where he was laid. For some reason, Salome isn't mentioned there. But if you go back even further to verse 40, you'll see that the three women are mentioned as witnesses not only of Jesus' burial, but of his death on the cross. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the Less and of Joses and Salome. But verse 41 adds that there were many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. And that means that we know of these three women from Mark. If you turn to Luke, in addition to Mary Magdalene, Mary, and Salome, there is a Joanna who is mentioned. But Luke also says at the tomb that morning, there were many other women. So we don't know all the names of all the women who were there. The Bible doesn't want us to know, but we do know these. Mary Magdalene, out of whom Jesus had cast out the seven devils. Mary, the mother of James the Apostle, who had served Jesus during his earthly ministry, Salome, Joanna, and other women. What we should note this morning is that these were women of remarkable faith and devotion to Jesus Christ. Now, it is true that the women should have known that Jesus was going to rise again from the dead. They had been told by Jesus that he was going to go to Jerusalem, he was going to be betrayed by the chief priests, that he's going to be put to death, and that he was going to rise again. And the women had a weak faith, or an imperfect faith in that regard. They did not understand that Jesus was going to rise from the dead, as he said. But even though the women had an imperfect faith and a misunderstanding with regard to Jesus' resurrection from the dead, when we look at this story of their behavior, we need to know the courage of their faith and the openness of their faith. First of all, Jesus died. They witnessed that and was buried. And they don't understand the resurrection, but note that these women, even though they don't understand why Jesus had to die yet, really, the fact that he is dead does not deter them from continuing to believe in him, continuing to be devoted to him, continuing to trust in him. What you have to understand here is not that this is just sort of like the loss of a good friend, a family member, and now he's dead and we're going to go to the grave and we're going to anoint his body to honor him. There's more than that going on. These women followed Jesus during his earthly ministry. And even though they don't understand his death, they believe the words that he spoke. Even though they didn't really listen and absorb his words when he said, I'm going to rise again from the dead. When Jesus said things like this, I am the Son of God, they believed him. When Jesus said, I am the Christ, they believed him. When Jesus said, I am the one through whom there is salvation from sin and the hope of eternal life, they believed him. And now here's the remarkable thing about their faith. Jesus' death might have, you can understand this, can't you? That might have made them think all of our faith in him, well, it was misplaced. All of our hopes in him are dashed. But that's not what we see here. What we see here is a strong faith that says, even though I don't understand everything that's going on, I believe Jesus. I believe in him. I put my trust in him. I'm devoted to him. From that point of view, these women are an example to us of the kind of faith we ought to have. And you find yourself, and you do sometimes find yourself saying, I don't understand how everything's working together in my life for the purpose of God, for my good, for salvation. But I still have a faith that clings to Jesus, that trusts in him, that is devoted to him. That's what we see in these women. First of all, the death of Jesus does not cause them to lose their faith in him. And secondly, they are showing devotion to him openly in defiance of all their leaders. Don't overlook that. The Jews, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, have said of Jesus, he's a blasphemer. He's a godless man worthy of death. And then the Roman government under which these women live has said, even though Pilate was hesitant to do this, he did say he's a criminal worthy of execution. The women might have said, now is not the time. Let's wait a few days. Let's wait for things to settle down. Now is not the time to show any loyalty to Jesus. If we do that, it may lead to persecution. It may lead to harm. That's why it's striking that verse 2 says, very early in the morning. There was no hesitation on the part of these women. There was no thought of themselves. There was no concern for persecution. No, their faith was such that the only thing that mattered to them was their Lord Jesus Christ. That's the kind of faith, again, that we need to have today, isn't it? A faith where we say we're not concerned about what those around us have to say. We're not concerned about whether this is going to be popular. We're not concerned about what this is going to do to me personally. The only thing that matters in my life is love and devotion to Christ. And then thirdly, what makes the faith of these women stand out, maybe you know where I'm going to go, is the contrast, the difference between these women and the men, the disciples. It seems that the death of Jesus Christ has made the disciples question whether it was worth believing in Jesus. Is he really the Messiah? It doesn't seem like it. He died. And the apostles, or the disciples at that time, fled for their own safety. They were thinking about themselves and their own skin. In contrast, or different from that, are these women who believe in Jesus and love him and show it openly and boldly that Sunday morning, going to his sepulcher or grave. And what they witnessed was amazing. In verse 3, they were questioning, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And why were they asking that? Well, we get to verse 4. We're told they looked and they saw that the stone was rolled away. And then this description, for it was very great. And here in Mark chapter 4, or 16, verse 4, There are two words there, emphasizing this was a large stone. Not just a great stone or a large stone, but this accurately reflects the Greek, a very great stone. And it's rolled away. And entering into the sepulcher, and what you have to understand here is that this was probably a huge tomb carved into the side of a hill, so that it had more than one room. The place where the bodies would be buried, and I say bodies plural because Joseph of Arimathea, who bought this grave, probably intended at first that this would not only be where he would be buried, but other family members. So that would be the inner room where the bodies would be buried, and then an outer room. And that seems strange to us, but it seems that that was the kind of grave this was, that there was an outer room, kind of an entryway, and then the actual inner room where the bodies were laid. And it's in that outer room that they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. So the stone is rolled away. They see that. When they go in, they see this angel shining with the glory of God, because the angel came from the presence of God to meet with these women. And we're going to see in a moment, verse 6, that they also witnessed, looked at the place where Jesus was laid, and his body was not there. Simple question for you this morning. Do you believe this? Do you believe that the women came there that day and found that the stone was rolled away? Do you believe that that stone, very great, that the women couldn't have moved for all their efforts probably, was moved like a feather by that angel of God? And do you believe that when the women went into that outer room, they saw an angel from God? And do you believe that when they went in to the inner room, that they saw that there was no body? Now ask yourself, if you believe all this, and this is the Word of God, so we do believe this, what makes sense of all of this? If Jesus is still dead, none of this makes sense. That's the simple point. If Jesus is still dead, there really wasn't any reason for the stone to be rolled away. Well, I suppose you could say, but then the women wouldn't have had entrance in order to anoint the body of Jesus. But God would have had no purpose to help them with that. If Jesus was still dead, God would have left it to the women to find some men maybe to help them roll that stone away. If Jesus was still dead, there was no purpose of the angel being there. If you go to a cemetery to visit the grave of someone who was buried, you don't expect, do you, to find that that grave has been opened up. And you don't expect to find an angel there to explain to you, yes, he's still dead. You don't need that. If Jesus was still dead, the women wouldn't have needed any explanation. They were expecting, we're going to find Jesus' body in the grave and we're going to anoint his body. And then Jesus' body not being there, that cannot be explained by Jesus is still dead and his body was moved. We know that from John's account and the arrangement of the linen clothes the body was gone because Jesus had risen from the dead. That's the only thing that makes sense of everything that these women see. The stone has been rolled away because Jesus has risen from the dead. Not to let Jesus out of the grave. We understand that. Jesus now has a risen body that could leave the tomb without the stone being rolled away. But that stone was rolled away exactly so that the women could witness a miracle. This stone has been rolled away. This very great stone. This must mean something. And it does mean something. Jesus is not dead. He's risen. That angel, his appearance is a signal that this is a special occasion. Maybe you children have noticed some things regarding today. Maybe the food that your mom has prepared, maybe the family plans that you have today, this is not just an ordinary Sunday, this is a special day. Or maybe you can think of it like when you receive presents. You know that it's not very common for you on just any given day, an ordinary day, to be given a gift, a present. That happens on a special day. That happens when it's your birthday. That happens when it's Christmas. And so it is with God's sending of his angels, especially in connection with his son Jesus Christ. God doesn't send an angel when every child is born. It's a wonderful thing when a child is born. But when his son is born, an angel comes. It's a special day. And now an angel is here from God. This is a special day. And what is special about this day is this. God's son, who was dead, is not dead anymore. He's risen from the dead. This can only be explained, all of what the women saw, by the fact that Jesus is risen. And that's what the angel explains in verse 6. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. Don't be alarmed. You are. You would be too if you came face to face with an angel from heaven. But he said, this is the word of God to them. Now don't be alarmed. You have nothing to be afraid of. This is good news. You are seeking or searching for Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. And we ought to pause and meditate upon that for a moment. Jesus of Bethlehem? Well, we know that's where Jesus was born. But he's Jesus of Nazareth in Galilee. That's where Jesus grew up. And when the angel speaks of Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth, he's using human language. He's humanizing Jesus. He is God. He is the second person of the Trinity. Not below God the Father in rank, but equal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. But God, as God, cannot die. And death, as we saw Friday night, is what it's going to take to pay for sin, to save people from sin. And so, the one who is crucified is God, second person of the Trinity, who became a man that he might die as God in human flesh to pay for our sins. That's one reason why it's very important to know that Jesus Christ is God, but a real man. Jesus of Nazareth, he had to die as a human being to pay for all of our sins, to cover our sins. But the second reason that he had to be a man is that man had to have victory over death and sin. Man is the one who has to be raised from death to life. That's what the angel's hinting at. Jesus of Nazareth came as a human being to die to pay for your sins. But he is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. A human being has come to die in order to bring life after death. Here it is, and the simple question again is, do you believe this word of God through the angel? The women witnessed everything that we've covered, the stone rolled away. They saw the angel. They saw the empty grave. But in 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul doesn't appeal to that. He's not saying, I preach the gospel of Christ's resurrection because his resurrection was witnessed by the women. Now that's part of what he talks about. He talks about Jesus seen of Cephas, then of the 12, seen of 500 brethren at once. More than even, above 500 brethren. And Paul even says, I am the last witness of Jesus Christ in his resurrected body. But the most important reason for believing in the resurrection is found in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And then verse 4, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Do you believe God's word that Jesus died and the third day he rose again? He is different from every other dead human being. Now, I say this because I know the children and the young people know the scriptures well. And there are exceptions, Elijah and Enoch and Moses. Now, every other human being, what is true of them after death? They're buried. They're still in the grave. They're still dead. Peter says this about David in Acts 2, verse 29. When he speaks of Psalm 110, verse 1, and says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. The Jews had this mistaken thought that the Lord might have been talking to David. And Peter says, David is dead, both dead and buried. That's true of Adam. We don't know where his grave is, but Adam died, was buried. That's true of Abraham. It's true of David. Peter, Paul, they're both dead and buried. This is true of people I know, or who I knew, people you knew and loved. They're dead and buried. Jesus was dead. Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. Past tense. You notice that? When those Jews said, he is present tense dead, they were lying. If anyone says today, Jesus is dead, they are lying. The truth is, Jesus was dead. He is risen. He is alive. And he is ascended into heaven. This explains everything. We could say it explains everything in the whole world, and that's true. Everything that is happening in the world is happening according to the plan of God under the control of the risen Jesus Christ. But what's especially important to us this morning is that this is what explains the church and the life of the individual believer. I know that there are religions where people have followed dead men for a long time. That's really sad, isn't it? We note that this morning. For Muslims, for I think around 1,000 to 1,500 years to be following a dead prophet named Muhammad. That's a sad thing. Indicates that men can be devoted for a long time even to a false religion. But the point is that no matter how you measure or compare our faith and our religion as Christians to the religions of the world, there's no other religion like the Christian religion. And even though you go back to the Old Testament and the word Christian wasn't used, and we don't really call it the Christian religion, really, the gospel of Jesus Christ, death and resurrection, and therefore the establishment of his church, goes back to Genesis 3. When God said the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent, there God was telling us of the victory of salvation over sin and death through Jesus Christ. And even if, I know none of you would do this, but even if someone wanted to be argumentative and say there are other religions that have been around for a long time, the fact is there's no religion like the Christian religion. How is it possible that there's been a saved people of God from the very beginning of the world to now, formed as the people of God in the midst of this world? The only explanation is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who fulfilled every promise of the Old Testament. He came, he died, and he's risen now with life. And he gives life to his people. And now, no one has blessings like the church has. I'm thinking of a passage like Deuteronomy 33, verse 29. Happy art thou, O Israel. And then the question is, who is like unto thee? And the implied answer is no one. There's no one in the world who is as happy, as blessed as the church of God, those who enjoy the blessings of God. Not from an earthly point of view, but I ask you from a spiritual point of view, who is happy and joyful like the people of God who know Jesus Christ? There may be people who have more money than you and me. People who have an easier earthly life. There may be even people who claim that they have a hope for the future, maybe of some paradise with virgins like the Muslims, though that is a false hope. I ask you, who in the world is like a Christian who can say, because I believe in Jesus Christ, I know I have the forgiveness of all my sins. Because I believe in Jesus Christ, I know that the triune God, not Allah, but the true God, is my friend, and I live with him in covenant friendship. And because I believe in Jesus Christ, I believe in this too, the resurrection of the body. That though I may die bodily, someday I'm going to be raised again in body and soul, live forever in heaven with Jesus and the whole church. Who is like unto thee, O Israel, O church? Now, remove Christ's resurrection. You see what I'm saying? We don't have any of these things. These things only make sense, that there's a church with joy and hope and faith because the resurrected Jesus Christ, who has life, is giving us life and blessings from heaven. Our duty is to tell others. Jesus commissioned the women. Verse 7, But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him as he said unto you. There's where the angel's telling the women, you know this because he told you. And then verse 8, and they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. And the way to understand verse 7, go tell the disciples, verse 8, they told no one, is this way. The women, having been told it's real, Jesus is risen from the dead, believing this good news, said, this is all that matters, that Jesus is risen and we need to tell the disciples. And on the way to tell the disciples, we're not stopping to talk to anyone. We can't wait to tell them Jesus is risen from the dead. And I believe that the idea here is that not only in this moment, but now for the rest of their lives, the women live this way. If Jesus is risen from the dead, then that's really the only thing that matters. We are going to obey him, we're going to love him, we are going to live for him. And so I end this morning by asking you this question. Going back to the introduction, how do you make sense of everything? Now I ask the question about your life. The question is not about your confession this morning. Do you believe that Jesus died and rose again? You're here this morning. That's your confession. The question is this. Would someone look at your life and say, the only way to explain you, how you live, how you talk, is that you must really believe in Jesus, that he died and rose again. You understand, if you truly believe in Jesus Christ, if you truly believe that he gave his life on the cross, crucified, to pay for your sins, and if you truly believe this is who he is, the Son of God, come in the power to conquer death and the grave and to rule over all things, that means you believe he rules over you too. And that must make a difference in your life. Let me put it this way. If you're living a life of self-seeking, your life is about me and my pleasure, and your life is characterized as worldly, it's continuing in sin, well, then the only conclusion that can be made is you don't believe truly in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's not live that way. Let's live our lives in humble faith and obedience to God. Let's let our light shine. And let the people of the world know that we love Jesus, are devoted to him. Even in trials, even when we might have to give up money or health or popularity, even, I love this, to think about this, even in a hospital surrounding the deathbed of a loved one, may we in our pain and in our sorrow show a patience and a faith in Christ that makes others say, the only thing that makes sense of this is that these people must really believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, has conquered death, and is their hope. Let's broadcast that. And what we say, and what we do. Amen. Father in heaven, glorious day of glorious news from thy word, that our Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins, that he rose again, not only that he might have life, that we might have life now and in the resurrection day. Lord, there are many who are still under the bondage of sin and death. By the power of the risen Jesus Christ, use the preaching of the word by the church and the testimony of hope by believers to spread the news that there is salvation, light and life through the risen Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen.